What a mighty, mighty, mighty God we serve. You have your Bibles, turn to an old familiar scripture. Book of John, chapter 3. Verse number 16. Hallelujah. To our guests, we're excited you're here. We're certainly going to be preaching to you, but we're going to be preaching to the church mostly today. I want to talk to us. I tell you what, this teaching by Professor Sean Dooley, where's he at? Probably back with his lovely wife somewheres this morning, between 10 and 11. I just want to encourage this wonderful church, if you can, just crawl out of bed a little earlier. I know it's so hard and you need as much beauty sleep as you can get. I understand all of that. But if you could just, on a Sunday, allow one extra wrinkle and just push yourself out of bed and make it to the house of God at 10 o'clock. And if you have children, bring your children, because we have a wonderful Sunday school department that would love to be able to teach your children. And get to the house of God. You would have heard an incredible teaching by our youth pastor, Sean Dooley, today. Wow. God working in your life. And it just tied so well with what we're going to be preaching about for just a few minutes here today. But I felt this so strong. You know, the Lord dealt with this last week, and God talked to us. I'm trying to remember what I preached last week. Does anybody remember what I preached last week? Oh, God's final dwelling place. I think my wife called it out. Wow, she was actually listening. That's incredible. You know, it's one of the few times I get her to listen at church, and she's kind of obligated by God to do that because I'm preaching. But God's final resting place, you know, in us. So the Lord was dealing about us on Sunday, and he's going to talk about us a little bit more here today. I want you to tell your neighbor, Jesus is using you. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, we say, well, he used me. We're talking about God. I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah, God uses me. I think that's pretty awesome, don't you? So tell somebody else, Jesus is using you. He's using you. And there's some of you here today, and you're saying to yourself, the situation I'm in, the trouble that I'm going through, the dilemma that's in my life, the stress, the conditions, etc., financially, health, marriage, whatever. Just like Brother Dooley taught this morning, I want to tell you that God is all up in that. He's all up in that. And one of these days, I don't know when, but one of these days, we're going to catch on to something. We're going to catch on, Brother Luma, that I am God's servant. And that I am not my own. And I was bought with a price. And I belong to him. And however he sees fit to use me. Because we need to remember, he's always reaching for a soul. And the reason why, I'm not preaching yet, I hadn't even read my text yet, just hold on. We get all beside ourselves, all caught up in our dilemma, feeling sorry for ourselves. When God had put it all together, he wasn't worried about you, he's got you. You understand that? He wasn't worried about your situation, your hardship. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus blessed this message today. Amen. You can be seated. He's when you're going through your trial, you're going through your situation, you're going through your finances, you're going through the trouble, the persecution, whatever it is that you're facing, he's not worried about you. He's already told us that he'll never put on us more than what we can bear. Did he not make you that promise? So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your trial is, no matter what your situation is, Jesus has already made a promise to you. I will never allow anything to come into your life that God does not already know. You are able to conquer. You are able to overcome. You will make it. You will not fail. You will not fall. You will make it. You will get through it. You will. God has all that there. Now, Brother Sean was teaching that, you know, I love what he said. Oh, God, you know, give me patience. And the Lord says, okay. You need to read the Word of God because the Bible says our patience comes through our trials and our tribulations. So when you pray for God, Lord, give me patience, what you're really saying, Brother Jermaine, is you're saying, Lord, give me trials. Give me persecutions. Pour out the tribulations upon me, God. That's what you're really saying to the Lord, because that's where patience comes from. And so God hears these things. Lord, use me. And the Lord says, okay, I'll do that. And Brother Dooley was teaching on it here this morning so wonderfully. But to use you, he knows our nature. He knows who we are. And so he has to begin to work in our lives in certain situations, in certain ways. But the problem is we get all caught up in that. We get all wrapped up in it. And it's all about us now. It's not really about us and God. It's just about us. And we're saying, Lord, do you even know what I'm going through? Do you even know where I'm at? Do you see what that person said? Do you see what that person did? Have you heard I got fired last week and there's no finances? And the Lord says, yeah, I know all of that, because you see, you asked me to use you, and that's what I'm doing. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to talk to us about, because we need to get a hold of this. You know, we come into the kingdom of God. We give our life to God, and we become his. He fills us with his power and his glory, and we love him, and we begin to live for him. And there's something that we need to keep in mind, that he will leave the 99 to go out and find the one. When you study the Word of God, what you're going to find out is that the most important thing to God is a lost soul. Now, I'm going to get really kind of hard just for a moment, just for a second. But I just want you to kind of follow me through this. And while I say these things, I want you to understand that your pastor is speaking to you out of experience. He's not talking to you from some outside circle looking in. And while I'm up here being so exalted, you're in there having to go through everything. No. I'm talking to you through experience. I had a mother. I had a mom that suffered from rheumatoid arthritis. I know I've told you this, but the doctor said that she had the worst case of any case at all in the state of Louisiana on records. After about 20 years of suffering, this was back when they didn't really have all of these medicines, and after about 20 years, the disease had literally eaten away every single joint in her body. That meant there was no cartilage in any of her fingers, her knees, her hips, her neck, her back, nothing. Bone everywhere's in her body. So you can only imagine what kind of pain that was. But not only was her body in that shape, but she was blind. She could not see. And the disease had crippled her eyes and she couldn't see. She was blind, couldn't feed herself, bathe herself, do anything for herself. She was what we would call an invalid, a little ball of flesh laying up on a bed that any and everything that had to be done for her had to be done for her by her son or whoever else that may be there at the time. Yet I'm also talking to you about a woman that if you ever walked into her room, I promise you, you might have walk in there to comfort her, but you will walk out having been comforted. Because somewheres down the line, I don't know where, I don't know how, and I cannot comprehend,
somewheres down the line, she stopped feeling sorry for herself and she started concentrating on her God, and she began to say, God, how can you use me in this current situation? And I'm here to tell you today that in this beautiful little home that she stayed in, there were 9 RNs who prayed through to the Holy Ghost, got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and who began to live for God. Now, I am not going to stand here. I want you to follow me for a moment. So I took the extreme. I don't want to stand here and tell you today that I understand all of that, because she believed in healing, and she trusted God. She trusted God that she would not die, but that she would go in the rapture. She believed the day would come, she'd go in the rapture. She'd have her immortal body, and she would dance before the presence of the Lord. But I buried my mother 2007. We buried Mom. We buried her still blind. We buried her still a cripple. We buried her in excruciating pain. In fact, her death was her last few months of her life were worse than her entire life put together. It was unbelievable. The medicines and the morphine and the codeine and the oxycontins and the whatever else that they could put in her body, nothing could kill the pain. She was still in excruciating pain. And so we come to God and we say, God, I don't understand this. She's not a horrible woman. She's not a bad person. She's lived for you all of her life. She took her children to church when she could walk. She made us go when she couldn't. When we got out of school, we had to study the Word of God. When we got home, we couldn't do anything else. Her whole life was devoted to you. I tried to bring a television into her room so that she would have something to watch. And she said, get that thing out of here. I barely have enough time to read the Word of God. She meant listen, of course. And 24, the whole time she was awake, she would just listen to the Word of God. She knew it better than I did. She could quote it, tell you where it was, how to get there. She could relate scriptures to it. She was a godly woman. She loved God in all areas of her life. A good woman. And she raised her children the best that she could. Yet she died a cripple. However, I stand before you as her son, and I tell you, I know not of a woman who was you greater used of God. I have met her not yet. My mother was an oracle and a vessel of the Almighty God. And I may not understand everything, but I'm here to tell you this. God put her there. You say that can't be. That's because you're polluted with this stupid stuff they call religion today. Well, all the preachers are telling you, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. And they're telling you if you're living for God, everything's going to be right. Everything's going to be perfect. Everything, if that was the case, we would never be able to reach a world that is lost and hurting and in pain. I believe with all my heart, and I'm going to try to get to my message here in a little while. I believe with all of my heart that no matter who stands before God with their excuse, God, I would have lived for you, but Lord, my finances were horrible. Father, I would have lived for you, but I prayed for healing and it never came. God, I would have lived for you, but I prayed for my children and they're lost. God, I would have lived for you, but I prayed for my marriage and I ended up in a divorce. I believe for every person that has an excuse of why they did not live for God, God will have one of his own who will stand beside them, who went not only through that, but probably something worse. But they never cursed his name. They never gave the blame to him. They never doubted his love. They held on. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. Listen, we don't understand God, and we never will. We'll never comprehend his ways. But this much I do know. There is nothing that he will not do to save a soul. In fact, I think it would blow our minds. I know it'd blow yours, Brother Mata. It's a miracle that you're even sitting on that chair here today. You're a miracle of prayer, son. Prayer. People, you went up there with that cord 14 years, heard by the church in the house of God today. But what we don't know, what we cannot comprehend, is everything God had to do to reach you. You think you got up one day. Turn me up a little bit. I can't even hear myself. You think you got up one day and you just walked into the house of God and the power of God fell on you and you prayed through to the Holy Ghost and you came into the kingdom of God. I got news for you. I want to tell you, hell had to be shaken. Heaven had to be moved. There's no telling what had to be done to get you in the kingdom of God. Nobody knows how many prayers had to cover you. Nobody knows who had to suffer, what people had to go through, what God had to move around in order to get you into the kingdom of God. I don't comprehend it all. I don't even want to try to comprehend it all. I just know that there's nothing more important to Jesus Christ than the saving of a soul. And when you and I gave ourselves to him, when we allowed him to come into our bodies and into our spirits and into our minds, and we became a vessel of the living God, and he shed his glorious blood upon us, and we begin to walk in his glory, and we live in a religious world today where preachers will get up and preachers will say, oh, I'm not going to say be blessed, you're already blessed, and that's true, but then they'll go on, they'll say claim the Cadillac, claim the big bank account, why don't you claim Haiti? See how quiet it was? Why don't you claim Liberia? Why isn't your heart full of a burden when a lost, suffering people that are in this world and in this city? You know what God says about your finances, Brother Dixon? He says, don't worry about your finances. Seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll add all these things to you. I think if we'd grow up and learn what God desires us to pray for, our grandchildren, our children, Sister Allison, because of your years of prayer, they're now walking down to that altar and they're talking in tongues. Marriages are being put together. Grandchildren and great-grandchildren are being saved. You know, if we'll wake up, we'll realize something. The Bible says, yes, if you pray, I will hear and I will answer. But don't forget, the Word of God also says, you must pray in His will. Just stay with me a little bit. Stay with Jesus, should I say. Because He's the one talking. Because when I get home, me and Jesus are going to have a talk. And I'm going to tell him, I don't appreciate you doing that to me, to all those precious people. And the Lord says, you do what I call you to do. I'll do what I know needs to be done. And me and you will get alone. Shut up. We've let modern religion, we've let the religion of the United States of America so get a hold of our hearts and our minds that we have totally lost the concept of who our God is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the focal point of God. It's what consumes him every day. And so God understands our flesh. He understands we live on earth. He understands our needs. So you know what God says? Don't worry about your house. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about your finances. He said, if you'll seek me, I'll take care of all of that. Patrick, the Word of God says that He knows your need before you ever ask. Why don't you blow God's mind one day? If that's possible. Sure, pretty sure it's not. However, some of you might be able to, including me. Why don't you blow His mind? And when you get down on your knees today, and you're about to say, Lord, my car note is past due, and I just got my pink slip today. I don't know how I'm going to pay it. Could you take care of that, God? I need groceries in the cupboard. Listen, I'm not making fun of these things. You think I don't know that they're serious and that they can consume you? But I wonder what God would do if you knelt down and say, Lord, could you send one more missionary to Haiti? Could you put it on the heart of a family somewheres, God, and call one more missionary to Liberia? Call another missionary to Kenya. Call another missionary, God, into that God-forsaken country of Europe. Send somebody to London, Father, to reach those wealthy people. Oh, God, they have a soul and they're lost and they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. Oh, God, I pray, reach the lost. Help me, Jesus, to reach somebody today. Help me to speak to somebody today. I'm tired of being intimidated. I'm tired of being ashamed. I'm tired of being scared. I'm tired of worrying about my own reputation. I'm tired of these things, God. I need your help. You got to help me reach somebody. I want to be your vessel. I want to be used by you. I got a funny feeling. Your car note's going to be paid. Your house note's going to be taken care of. Groceries are going to be in your cupboard. Because when you go to work for God, God will pay you. I don't know how else to put it, but God has come to tell some of us today, He's tired of our complaining. Now lift your hands and love the Lord. I need a drink. He's tired of our complaining. Whew. You never met him. You might not ever meet him. But a few months ago, they lost their job. They don't know God. They have a wife and children. Looks like they're going to probably lose everything. And they, for the first time, fall on their bed as a man. Very hard thing for him to do. It's good to have you back, Brother Scott. We missed you guys. And buried her mom. Sister Scott buried her mom a few days ago. They've been gone for a while. And he falls on his bed, Sister Henry and Brother Henry, and he just begins to cry. He don't know how to pray. He was raised, not atheist, but, you know, just in some tradition that really never taught him how to pray. And so he just begins to talk to God the best way that he knows how. But I'm going to tell you right now, God was there. It's God, I got to have a job, and these are my skill sets. It's all I have. Now, I'm going to blow your mind, but I'm telling you, I am in the Holy Ghost. And I'm not prophesying over you, brother, here, Brother Spears. I'm just going to use you as an example. Is that okay? All right, so don't go home and cry when I'm done. And if it does happen, to just know the Lord was letting you know. And the Lord says, I've got just the job for you. However, in order to give you that job, I have to remove one of my own. And Brother Spear goes into work. He's a good worker. There's no reason for him to be fired. But the boss, the Lord moved on the boss, and the boss gets a touch of fear, and he feels like he has to cut back. So Brother Spear comes in, and he gets the pink slip. And Brother Spears, now here's where God is. This is what God expects from us. There should be no fear in Brother Spears, because he's God's. And if God chooses to remove him so that he can answer the prayer of a heathen, so that a heathen will know that there is a God, and make his way in, and he takes the place, not as the husband, of course, just the job. He takes the place of Brother Spears and goes to work, and God begins to work on the back of his mind. What God doesn't want from us is now all of a sudden we throw our hands up in the air, and I pick Brother Spears because he wouldn't do that, but throw our hands up in the air, and we're getting mad at God, and we say, I paid my tithes, I give my offering, I give my home missions, and I give to missionaries, I do all of that. You can be seated, brother. And then here I am, God, I'm faithful to you. I even started getting up at 6:30 in the morning and listening to all them tongue-talking, screaming women on that morning prayer thing. And being trying to reach out the best I can. I love morning prayer, by the way. And then love, just doing my best. And this is the thanks you give me. But see, something you need to understand is that God has your life in his hands. And if he takes you up from here to bless somebody else, he's going to move you up here. Because he loves you, and he's here for you, and he'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Here's what Brother Spears' response needs to be. Well, you know, Lord, I've been here 18 years. I've been at this job long enough. I've witnessed to everybody on the job. I'm so excited. God's about to move me to a brand new field for the kingdom of God. I'm thrilled. God, where are you going to send me? What are you going to do with me? Who can I talk to? Who can I witness to? Who can I reach out to? That's what God wants from us. And if we'll believe and trust that we are really in his hands, and that we really do belong to him, and that whatever he does with us, it's according to his purpose, and it's according to his will and his power, then when things happen to us, we will always be looking for a way of how we can witness. Who can we talk to? God, I've got this sickness in my body. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying God gave it to you, but he did allow it. Because he is God. And I got this sickness in my body. And yes, pray for healing. Pastor will pray for healing. Miracles will certainly come. We believe in all of that. But at the same time, Lord, I've got to go through some processes. And so I'm asking you, God, I know there's somebody I'm going to talk to. There's a doctor I'm going to meet. There's a nurse I'm going to meet. There's somebody I'm going to be with. God, I know you're going to use this that I can reach somebody. Why? Because God so loved the world. It's what he always does. It's what he's always doing. And whatever's going on in your life, I've come to tell you in the Holy Ghost, it's because God is trying to reach somebody. I wish I'd get a little help up in here. Come on. I wonder, don't be shy. This isn't a trick question. I'm not going to mess with you. But if you're going through a trial, now listen. I'm not talking about that when you were filing your nail with the emery board, or whatever they call that, and it chipped. And you go, oh, why do these things always happen to me? Lord, I paid my tithes. Is it because I didn't give to missions? Folks, I've met them. Because you're so wrapped up in you, you don't even know nothing about the kingdom. And everything that's happened, you think it's some kind of judgment of God on you. God can't do anything with you. He can't use you. He can't move you. He can't put you through anything. He can't put you in a situation because there's a brother or a sister who has been crying out to God. He can't move you from one job to another. You think your world's coming to an end. He can't make you have something go through you physically because you think your world is coming to an end. You always think it's the judgment of God. I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. And the quicker you recognize that and say to yourself, God, what kind of blessing is going to come through this? Who can I touch? Who can I help? How can I reach? Now, if you're so, I'm not talking about nail clippings, but if you are going through something, you know what I'm talking about. You're going through a trial. When you go home today, you have no clue whether your husband is going to beat you or not. Oh, yeah. There's women that go, hey, don't say, baby, I don't beat you. Oh, yeah. I never know whether my husband's going to beat me or not. And there's women that go home to those situations. Some of my young people, you might have to go home today, and you don't know whether your parents are going to make fun of you. Your siblings will make fun of you. Your parents will be angry at you. Marriage situations, and physical situations, pain in your body. Financial situations, lost your job, faithful for years now, no job. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Where's the finances going to come from? Hey, these are tough things. You're an entrepreneur in the economy. You know, the news is lying to you, telling you, we created 156,000 jobs this month. Yeah, but you lost 480,000. See, that's what they don't tell you. And then they tell you, well, unemployment's down to 5%. No, it's not. It's 13%. It's the highest it's been since the Great Depression. But see, they don't count the people on welfare without a job. And they don't count the people that quit looking for a job. They don't count those people. And they give you a number of unemployment. The unemployment number are people who are weekly filling out employment applications. That's who they say are unemployed. So don't let the government lie to you. Ask entrepreneurs, or ask me, I'll tell you how bad it is. Just from the
general count and the counts of the church, and you guys are great, but we're just living in tough times. And so financially, it's a struggle. There's all kinds of areas. I want us to stand. If you're going through something, emotional, mental, financial, physical, spiritual. I don't know if there's another area. Is there another area? That about covers it. Wow. Look at this. Now listen, and I am too. I'm hurting right here, right now. I threw my back out preaching some kind of way. I'm not, Lord, I paid my tithes. Why'd you, I'm just preaching. Why'd you let this happen to me? Get over it. It'll go away in a couple of days. It's called human. It's called you idiot. You moved your leg at 53 in a direction it's not used to going. I'm going to tell you what I see. Sister Williams, I'm going to tell you what I see. And all of you precious people that are standing, this is what I see. In your trials, in your situations, in your dilemmas, emotionally and mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, whatever area it may fit under, this is what I see. The potential for the greatest revival that this church has ever seen. Come on. The potential for the greatest revival that this church has ever seen. The potential for the greatest revival that this church has ever seen. Don't sit down yet, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we're about to make a covenant. And our covenant is going to be this. Lord, I'm yours. You bought me. You know what I'm facing. You know what I'm going through. And now, God, I have a revelation that was preached to me today. And I didn't even get to my message, but this is it in a nutshell. That's why I get mad at people that write songs. Jesse, where's Jesse? Jesse's a songwriter. I preached 6 weeks on grace. That's 6 hours of preaching. He summed it up in a minute and 36 seconds in a song. Songwriters. Should have been more verses. Like 1,000 more verses. But we're going to make a covenant with the Lord. My message today is for you to get the revelation that your trial is not about you. That's what God has come to say today. I want you to say it with me. My trial is not about me. Say, I am in the hands of God. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God's got it under control. He loves you. He'll never forsake you. He's going to take care of you. Stop worrying about you. Now, say, my trial is about somebody else. I just haven't met them yet. And I might not ever meet them. Because God might be moving you in such a way to answer the prayer of someone else. Because remember, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And you and I, we're in the 99. You understand that, right? But he didn't leave them to the wolves. He didn't leave them to the devils.
He didn't leave them to die. He had them nicely pinned up in a secure area with plenty of food and provision and everything that they needed, that while he went after the one, the 99 was okay. You're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. God is providing for you. God is taking care of you. God will not leave you. He will answer your prayer. And when we get the revelation that what I'm going through, and some of us, Jim, me and you, we've been in our trials for a long time. A long time. How long we been married, baby? No, that's not what I meant. No, the trial I'm talking about was before we were married. We were married 29 years. 29 this year. 29 this year in December. The trial in my mind started before that. And not because I met you before we were married. I mean, before I met you. Now y'all know who really beats up who when we get home. We've been going through our trials a long time. Somewheres, Jim, I want to figure this out. And I want to say to myself, wait a minute. Maybe the reason I'm still in it is because I never figured out why I'm here in the first place. You can be seated, because I'm going to preach just a little while longer, and then we'll close. I'm closing. I'm going to stand you back up in just a second. We're going to make a covenant with the Lord. It's going to be awesome. Oh, I lost my thought. I hate when that happens. Trials and tribulations. Lions, bears, and tigers. Find out why you're there. There you go. Thank you, darling. And so, we're in this trial. And we stay in it because we never figure out why we're there. And our prayer is always, Lord, bring me out. And God says, but I put you there. I don't want to bring you out. I got something, not only am I working in you, but I got somebody you're going to meet while you're there. And they've been hungry for me a long time. And you're the perfect person to reach them. So God says, if you don't mind, I'm gonna take your finances. I'm going to hurt you in a few other areas. Because, see, I have to get you in the right shape so that the person that you meet will receive you. There's so much revelation to this. If we could ever comprehend that God's focus is souls. And Chad, he has the right to do with me and you whatever he pleases to do. And to bend us in whatever shape he wants to bend us in. And put us through, Brother Coffee, whatever he wants to put us through. Because we belong to him. And he's gonna take care of us. See, we don't have to worry about it. The person that really needs to be worried about is the one that God wants us to reach and why he's doing to us what he's doing. As everybody say, tool. You know, when you have a tool, you use that thing any way you want to use it. I got 967 ways to use a hammer. I don't just beat nails into boards with hammers. I beat all kinds of things with hammers. I can pull things apart and put things together. My hammer can become a plumber tool. It can become an electrician tool. My hammer can be every once in a while, it's actually a carpenter tool. I mean, I just use my hammer in any kind of way I want to use my hammer because that's my tool. I went down to Home Depot and I bought that thing. And I got the receipt electronically to prove it. And my wife, you got to know my wife, she puts our name on everything. If you ever leave anything at my house, my name will be on it.
Joe's kids came over one day. They had four or five gloves, and they all left them out of the house because she did this on purpose. She got some Marks-A-Lot. We call it Marks-A-Lot, permanent marker, and some black. And she saw the name Clements or Evans or whatever it was in all the gloves. She put a line through it and wrote Kyle underneath it. And then brought them to the ball field. You don't leave nothing in my house. My name goes on it. We own it. And if we can't use it, we'll sell it. Because we're all about the kingdom of God. But that's my hammer. I'll use my hammer however I want to use my hammer. I bought it. I paid for it. And that's how God looks at us. You say, well, but this is my area of expertise. This is my area of knowledge. This is my area of calling. This is my area of burden. God says, I'll use you in those areas when I can. But right now, I need you over here. Right now, I need you over here. Right now, I'm going to use you over here. Right now, you're going to do this and this. And this and this. Why? Because we are bought with a price. And God's focus is souls. Somebody cry out souls. Cry out souls. Cry out souls. We give our life to God. We're saying, God, you use me how you want to use me. That means he'll put you in whatever position he thinks he needs to put you in order to be able to reach that person. And the Lord says, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. We continue in that scripture, and it says, and that I'll make a way out. And we grab that part of the scripture, and we say, God's going to deliver me out of this. No. No, he's not. Because the end of that scripture, it says, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. I'll make a way out for you. And do you know what the last few words of that scripture is? So that you can bear it. His way out is not out. His way out is he'll step into your life and do whatever he needs to do so that you can finish bearing the trial. Why? Because it's not about you. You see, we got to get over that. It never was about you. He's already got you. You're already saved. He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. The problem, the situation is about him. It's about her. And I've got to put you through this so that you will be able to reach them. Because it's the one that I'm reaching for, not the 99 that are taken care of. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. Okay, let's stand. Let's stand. And I can have you all stand because you were all standing anyway. You had trials and tribulations. Listen, you don't have to live in this world long. You can be less than 9 seconds old and have a trial. You know how I know that? Because you ain't 9 seconds old and that doctor goes, poof. And you come into this world persecuted. And it never stops. And it never ends. How many of y'all know that now when we get in church, there's joy, there's peace, there's love. The beautiful thing about getting in church and being filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus is that now when you go through your difficulties, you go through them with a peace. I mean, if you're trusting God. Now, if you're not trusting God, you might be a worry wart and worry about everything. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, verse 6 says, worry about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, shall gird up your minds and your hearts. So the Lord says, I don't want you to worry about anything. Just bring it to me. Leave it in my hands. My peace will touch you. Listen, Sean, when you entered into that situation and you went to God with it, God heard, God stepped in, and God's with you. So now phase two is, okay, God, since I'm here, what can I do for you? You ever have somebody show up early? I haven't. But have someone show up early and they say, oh my, I'm early. Well, while I'm here, since I'm here, is there anything I can do for you? Boy, would God love that attitude. I don't like where I'm at. I lost my job. My knees hurt. Man, my back really hurts. My back hurts. And what else hurts? Anybody hurting? Am I the only one hurting? Chad, what are you, 20? 20, okay. Where are you hurting? That's just called wimp. That's just wimp. And financial, whatever it is, what would happen, Barbie? What would happen if we said, well, God, I'm here. What can I do for you while I'm here? And this is what the Lord, this is going to be our covenant today, because this is what the Holy Ghost laid on my heart. And he's kind of attaching this to last week. Last week we talked about that God made you his final resting place. You are his eternal home. You are his house. And so now the Lord's talking to us a little bit today, and he's saying, will you let me have free reign in my own house? You're gonna put me in a closet in my own house. I want to be able to go everywhere. I want to be able to do whatever it is that's my house. I bought it. I'm paying the notes. And boy, he is. He pays notes every month on you. Trust me. Every time you mess up, every time you sin, every time you get angry, every time you lust, every time you have greed, every time you have envy, every time you have grief, every time you have bitterness, every time there's unforgiveness in your heart, every time there's anger in your spirit, he's constantly paying notes out on you. That's what the Bible says. He's a mediator between us and God, constantly putting the blood out upon you, constantly cleansing you, constantly forgiving you, constantly loving you, constantly cleaning up the house, constantly fixing things. Constantly putting things back together. Constantly putting things back in order. My God, have mercy. Hallelujah. It's his house. And our covenant today is going to be with the Lord. And we're going to say, I'm not going to make you come down. We're just going to do it right where you're at. I want everybody involved. I have you come down. Some of you will stay back and watch over your purses and you can get into this online giving. You can leave your purse at home. Whew. You know, for somebody that depends on y'all, I sure am mean sometimes. But I say everything in love. I hope you know that. And our covenant is going to be this. Lord, we're going through a trial. We're going through a situation in our life. We're going through persecution. Might be with your husband. Might be the shoulder, Don. So he's over there rubbing that shoulder, moving. Might be the shoulder. Might be marriage. Might be your children. Could be your job, finances. Could be so many things. We face so many things. But when I said to you that the greatest potential, or the potential of the greatest revival that this church has ever seen, when I had you stand up because you were going through something, what I meant by that is this. You know, if we covenant with the Lord and we say, God, it's not about me. Except for the fact that he might be working on you. We understand that, right? I mean, God don't have a problem fixing you a little bit in the process. We certainly understand that. But we need to let our focus be, who is it that you're preparing me for?
who am I going to meet during this situation? And maybe more than one. And if we'll take our focus off of ourselves and put them back on the kingdom of God in our dilemma and change our prayers around just a little bit, it's okay to let God know you're there. God, you know where I'm at. Familiar sound. God, you know where I'm at. Yes, he does. And he'll come down and he'll touch you. But then you take that same prayer and you say, Lord, I know though that I'm going through this because there's a soul I'm going to reach. There's somebody I'm going to be able to touch. And if everybody in this building got that revelation and began to approach every trial, every persecution, every dilemma, every situation in that fashion and didn't get excited, I know it hurts. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. I know it's scary when different situations that you go through can be very perplexing and very disturbing and cause confusion and all of these things. I understand all that exists, but if we could just get excited and say to ourselves, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm going to walk through this. It might be this week. It might be next week. It might be 4 months from now. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to walk with you every day because I know you're working on me. I know you're preparing me. You're putting me in shape. I know I'm going to meet them. If we'll change our prayer into that kind of a prayer, I'm telling you, revival will sweep across this congregation. And you will find yourself in a soul-winning situation and not even know how you got there. We're trying to find a way to save a soul. And God says, if you'll just walk with me, I've got you down that path right now. If you'll just turn this over to me. So this is our covenant. I know it was a little bit different today, but it's what God wants to do. I want every eye closed, every mind on the Lord. If you can, raise your hands. If you can't, just raise your spirit. But if we can lift your hands, let's lift our hands. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to worship the Lord together, and you're going to make that covenant with him. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I come to you for this church, this assembly, this gathering, God. Father, I just pray, Lord, look down upon this local congregation. See our hands, see our hearts. Lord Jesus, you know the word that has gone forth here today. And I'm praying, God, that it will be a beginning in every one of our minds and every one of our hearts, that we will begin to think about our trials and our persecutions and tribulations and situations, that we'll begin to think of them differently. That God, it's not just about us. It's not about our pain and our hurt. But Lord, we belong to you. We are yours. We covenant with you. But Lord, it's always about souls. For God so loved the world. It's why you put us here. It's why you brought us here. It's why we're in the kingdom of God. It's why we're going through our trial, Lord. Oh, it will help us. But God, it's about a soul. It's about somebody else. Somebody we can reach. Somebody we can touch. Something happening to us. Lord, we don't even know it. It might be about somebody else, but God, we yield to you. This is our covenant today. Lord, we will cease from complaining. We will cease from worrying. We will stop whining about it, God. We will understand that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, that is going to be our opinion. It's going to be our viewpoint. We're going to understand you are with us. You are walking with us. And God, we're now covenanted with you. Lord, that we're going to begin to focus on the lost. Who can we reach? How can this be used to reach somebody? Church, I want you to begin just to pray right now. Just begin to talk to God yourself. Begin to make this covenant with the Lord. Father, I'm going to obey the word of God. I'm going to worry not. I'm going to bring it to you in prayer. I'm going to be thankful for where I'm at. God, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to be content for the place where I'm at. I'm going to understand, God, you've got me here for a reason. I am yours. You're working in me. You're working through me. I belong to you. I was bought with a price. Oh, God, I'm here to reach the lost. I covenant with you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to begin to focus on the kingdom. I'm going to seek first the kingdom. I'm going to give it all to you, God. I want to be used by you. I want to reach someone for the kingdom. Come on, that's it. Just a moment longer. Covenant unto the Lord. Talk to him. Covenant with him. Speak to him about your trial. Speak to him about your dilemma. Speak to him about your situation. Give it to God. Open your mouth and give it to him. I give it to you, Lord. Use me in it, God. Bring me through it, not out of it. Make something out of me. I want to reach the lost. I want to be used of God. I want to be a vessel of God. Do you feel that way today? The Lord has spoken to us. He wants us to get this revelation, church, that our trial is not about us. It's about the lost. There is a world that is lost and dying, and God is reaching for them. Come on, let's refocus ourselves, refocus our hearts, refocus our minds and our spirits. We reach for you, Lord. We reach for you, Jesus. Just a little more. I know I didn't bring you down to the altar, but you can pray where you're at. Come on. Come on, reach out to God. I want something to break through in your spirit. I want something to break through in your mind, in your heart. Reach out to him. Touch him. Oh, God, where I'm at is a tough place. It's difficult. But, God, I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited. You're going to use me while I'm here. I'm going to be able to help somebody that's worse off than me. I'm going to be able to touch somebody, Lord, while I'm here. While you bring me through this dilemma, while you're carrying me through this situation, Lord, I want to be sensitive, God, that what I can do, how I can reach, how I can touch. And God, you brought this into my life. You've allowed it to come that I might be able to reach the lost, because it's your focus. It's your focus. It's your focus. You leave the 99. You go after the one. It's why you came. It's who you are. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. Just a little longer. Just a little longer, church. Come on. Come on, let's turn this whole sanctuary into an altar call. Help your pastor out. Turn it into an altar call. Come on, let God talk to your heart. Let him speak to your soul today. What you're doing in my life, God. Look at what you're doing in my life. I'm excited, God. I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm going to be able to reach somebody. I'm going to be able to touch somebody. Oh, somebody open your heart. Somebody let this revelation come in. Come on, get over yourself. I don't mean that in an ugly way, but we have to do that. We got to get over ourselves. We've got to get rid of self-pity. We've got to get rid of murmuring and complaining. God doesn't like it. He destroyed 70,000 in the Old Testament because of it. He gave Miriam leprosy and Aaron leprosy because of it. Come on, God doesn't want murmuring. He doesn't want complaining. He's bringing us through the wilderness for a reason. He's bringing us through the Red Sea for a reason. He's bringing us through this land for a reason. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Hallelujah. 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 Talk to us, Lord. 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 Help us, God. Help us touch our minds and our hearts. Father, change our focus. I want to leave you with this. If you don't think it bothers God that you try to escape where he's called you to, read the story of Jonah and find out what happens when, even though you don't like it and you don't want to go where God called you and you don't want to do what God's asked you to do, and you start trying to find your own way out, you're just going to make things worse for yourself. And I've seen that happen many times. We don't submit. We don't yield. We don't give in. We don't let God accomplish what he's come to accomplish in our life. And we make things worse in our life. And they just get worse and worse and worse and worse. It doesn't matter how tough it gets in church. You stay in church. You stay in church. Because that's the right place to be. And whatever God requires of you, you adjust to it and you do it. And you stop complaining about it and quit bickering about it, because God knows what's good for us. Amen? He knows what's good for us. And let God work in our life. Let him do what he wants to do in our life. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for touching the house of God today. Thank you for ministering today. Thank you for using the music to bless us today. Father, let this word get in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits and do a great work amongst us. We love you. We praise you. We adore you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. Let's give the Lord praise.
Praise the Lord.